Our scripture lesson today continues our study through the Gospel of Luke. This morning, reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Listen to God's word for us today. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. For you alone are our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say, Amen. Well, this is certainly a very familiar story from Luke's gospel. In fact, depending on the time and place that you grew up and the Sunday school that you might have attended as a child, you may have learned that little song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see what he could see. And along with the familiar story, perhaps we also know some familiar lessons that we've learned from that story. But there's nothing familiar about the time we're living in right now. The world seems turned upside down. All the normal rhythms of our life have been disrupted and upended. And so in this strange new context, I began to read the story again this week and wonder if it might speak to us in a new way, a different way than it has before. So I want to invite us to hear some of the story again, and this time we're going to pause in a couple of places to see how the story might speak to us this morning. Beginning again with verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. I paused there in reading the story this week because I began to wonder what it was really that drove Zacchaeus to climb into the tree that day. Certainly, I don't think he was hoping that Jesus would see him up there. I think he was hiding. But what drove him to climb up there in the first place? What curiosity was this that had compelled him? After all, while Zacchaeus may not have been great in stature, he certainly was great in status. He was rich, we're told. He was the big man on campus. We can imagine him dressed in his Ralph Lauren robe or perhaps sporting his Brooks Brothers sandals around town. And yet, as dignified as most of his life was, there was nothing dignified about him scrambling up in a tree, getting stuck in its branches. And so I have to wonder why he really climbed up there and what he was thinking about during that time. We don't know if he was up in that tree for 5 minutes or for 5 hours. But clearly this was a moment in which the autopilot pace of his life had been shut off. The frenetic pursuit of wealth and security suddenly put on pause. Maybe that morning he had gotten up and looked in the mirror and decided he didn't like what he saw. Maybe he was tired of the exclusion he felt from the rest of the community. Maybe he began to feel guilty about the impact that his activities were having on those from whom he was exacting taxes. Maybe he was beginning to experience a growing inner conflict between the person he was and seemed to be becoming and the person he believed he was supposed to be, the person he was created to be. We don't know why he was so determined to see Jesus that day, but I wonder what it was that drove that deep-seated and desperate desire, what it was that forced him to rethink who he was and how he was living. This week, perhaps many of us too have found ourselves stuck up in a tree. Maybe not literally, unless the people in your household are driving you nuts, sheltered in place. But at least figuratively, we found ourselves up in a tree or stuck at home, our lives suddenly disrupted. And in a moment now, when we too might be rethinking everything. Another pastor this week wrote, "The coronavirus crisis has revealed all the false or inadequate helps and hopes in which we may have trusted. Maybe it was our bank account, our control over our schedule, our own freedom and ability to move about. Whatever these false hopes might have been, the events and anxieties of the last 2 weeks have shown their inadequacy." I wonder for each of us how we might have begun to reflect during this unique time. As many of you know, my wife Miriam teaches classes at Front Range Community College. And so, like most other educators in the country right now, she was asked to move her education online. And in the process of doing that work this past week, she came across a number of resources and guidelines for how to do it, including these reflections from one of her colleagues, a professor at the University of South Carolina named Deborah Cohen. Professor Cohen writes, "My focus right now is mostly on easing my fears and those of my students and doing anything that assists our mental and physical health." She says, while we're getting all caught up in the anxiety of trying to figure out how to navigate online courses and teaching and platforms and technologies, she says, "I also want this moment to be an opportunity for my students to pause and think about how they might be better and healthier selves, citizens, and leaders in the face of uncertainty, crisis, fear, and change. I want them to think about how and where they can be of most service and how they can channel their energy to affect change. I will urge them to think about the way that they can hold on to and what they can let go of. And I want them to think about how they want to be remembered. I want to encourage them to dream about how they can chart a course for and about hope, even and especially when it feels like there is none. After all, aren't these the eternal questions of the human condition? Aren't these the lessons that we want to impart on and off campus?" When all of this is said and done, I suspect that my students might suggest that what they've actually yearned for is something else beyond just the curriculum. They've yearned for a new lease on life, an alternative approach to how to craft a life worth living. And they're looking to us as their professors, their role models, for a roadmap for how to do that. I can't imagine burying myself right now in online minutiae. Worldwide health is too precarious. The world feels too uncertain, and all that dis-ease feels frighteningly loud and overwhelming. I need and want what I instinctively believe my students need and want: reassuring leadership, humor, quiet and rest, joy and beauty, a departure from the mania, and a release to be still. There's some deep wisdom, I think, in what Professor Cohen writes. I think it's true for education, it's true for the church, it's true for all of us. We find ourselves in a moment when the treadmill of life has stopped. And as we step off, we have a unique opportunity. Now, to be clear this morning, there are many for whom this is not an opportunity to be still or to find quiet. There are some who are finding themselves in a new and disorienting frenetic pace. Our healthcare workers and other frontline workers who are helping us navigate this crisis. Those who are at home, newly trying to figure out how to work from home, educate children from home, navigate life at home. And yet, for many of us, this is a time when we too, as Dr. Cohen reminds us, can take a moment to ask ourselves how we want to be remembered, how we might want to use this time. How is it that we are going to emerge from our homes after this stay-at-home order? Will we stumble out disoriented, or will we emerge from our homes reoriented? The good news of the story is that we don't do this work alone. And here's where I found another moment to pause in this familiar text this week. As we continue in Luke's gospel, he writes, "When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus." I was doing a little bit of Greek study this week of the original New Testament text. And that phrase that Jesus utters, "I must stay at your house," is really the same verbs that are often translated, "I find it necessary," or "it is necessary that I stay at your house." We discover in these words that the work of transformation that we do right now is work that Jesus accompanies us through. It's work of transformation that doesn't need to take place at a temple or in a church or even on a mountaintop. This is work, Jesus says, that takes place at home, at Zacchaeus' house and in our house, in our homes, with our whole household gathered around us. And so that's my prayer for us this week, that while this experience may be one in which we feel like we're stuck up a tree or just staying in our homes, that alongside the real challenges we face, we're also being offered an opportunity for soul searching and reevaluating. An opportunity, as the psalmist reminds us, to be still and know that the Lord is God. To be still and know. To be still. To be. And in that, like Zacchaeus, who was happy, we too may experience true, authentic joy, rejoicing, to know that Jesus finds it necessary to join us right where we are, whether hiding in a tree or tucked together on our couches. And Jesus, now more than ever, calls us by name, invites us to choose a new life like Zacchaeus does, a life of reordered values, of courage and compassion, of resilience and hope, and together to follow in the way of Jesus and to never be the same. Amen.